2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. This is a little outline I was going to use. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I was thinking about this passage before we talked about the spirit that God hath not given us, the spirit of fear. But then Paul tells Timothy, I like it when you are presented with a choice. A lot of times we make many things in life more complicated than it needs to be. Can't say the word. Complicated than it needs to be. And Paul told Timothy, first he said, stir up that remembrance that you have of your ordination. When my hands were laid on you, he talks about his mother and his grandma. He says, remember where you came from. Remember that gift that God gave you. And again, this isn't one of the 2 points of my outline tonight, but God used Paul to stir up that gift in Timothy, to remind him again. And a lot of times we might look around and say, there's not much I can do, but you might be the reminder that God has placed in somebody else's life to say, hey, remember where you came from. Remember how it used to be. Remember how God has used you. Look back at the past, see how God has used you, and stir up that gift again. But in verse 8, Paul gives a either or. He says, be not thou therefore ashamed, but be thou partaker. It talks about the fear or respect that we ought to have for God. It talks about that spirit of fear that does not come from God, but the power and the love and the sound mind that does come from God. And there's 2 types of that fear or reverence or respect in the Bible. The one that we should have is a fear of God. We talk about it a lot, but we should have a reverence and respect for God. But the one that gets in the way the most of the time for our respect for God and our service for God is that first one, ashamed. Be not ashamed. There's either an ashamed fear or there's a partaker fear. The ashamed fear is that fear that is not of God, that reverence and respect that should be God's that we give to other things, other people, other situations. Those distractions, trials that come into our life, we start to fear other things besides God's power and his work in our life. In Isaiah it says, fear thou not, God speaking, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Talks about God tells us not to fear those things that cannot hurt us. We should not fear what people can say about us. What matters to us is what God says about us, not what other people say about us. Again, God calls us, like we talked about in Sunday school, God calls us his children. He calls us part of a holy nation. We're sons and daughters of the living God. And when we put something else in God's place, it not only keeps us from revering and serving and fearing God the way that we should, but it keeps us from doing the right things that God has prepared for us to do. We talked about it today with Lynn and her family. That fear of the uncertain circumstances of life, fear of death. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Once God removes our unnecessary fear, we can serve him and do what he wants us to do without that inhibiting our life. I know Pastor always tells the story of the preacher that got held up or was held at gunpoint, and they said, you know, give me everything that you got. And the preacher said, you can't scare me with heaven. If you have no fear of death, because death is victory and death is life and eternal life in heaven, then that won't hold you back. And again, we fear for others. We fear for their souls. But as Christians, if we're trusting in Christ, the worst thing that can happen to us is we end up in heaven and we still have a testimony that lives on beyond our own life. But Paul said, don't have that spirit of fear. He wasn't talking about fearing God, reverencing God. He was talking about giving other things God's place, giving other truth God's place of truth, giving other circumstances God's grace. And many of us do this. It's a constant thing. We have to put off that fear so we can take on the right kind of fear. We have to put off the ashamed fear so we can take on the partaker fear. Verse 8, again, using those 2 words. Be not ashamed, but be partaker. A person that lets fear control their life is, even when they know something is true, they're afraid to speak up and say what they know to be true. person that will let evil have its control in their life. They know what's right, they know what's wrong, but that fear keeps them from speaking out against it. That fear keeps them from saying, no, I'm not going to behave that way anymore. Paul was saying, don't let that type of fear get in the way of telling people the truth. Don't let that type of fear get in the way of speaking up when you know that you're right. Don't let that type of fear, that spirit of fear, in verse 7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Don't let that keep you from being a witness to other people. And again, I used Lynn as an example because she mentioned it today, and I thought along the same lines when she told me. She said, you know, God has made this, allowed this situation in my life to make me put things in the right perspective, to make me have to say some uncomfortable things to people that I haven't been able to say it yet, but God has put that in my life for a reason. And she said, I'm not going to let that fear keep me from being honest. I'm not going to let that fear keep me from speaking the truth to those that I love the most. And that's hard for all of us, because the people we love, we reserve a little bit of our respect for them and saying, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to say something to make them mad. And we let that fear control telling them the truth. God gives us these gifts. He gives us things that he wants us to use for his glory. The Bible talks about different gifts in the Bible that, you know, God gives some of us a burden to help people. God gives some of us a burden to be a teacher or a preacher or even prophecy. I was thinking about that word prophecy. You know, we believe God's word is all that we need, but there's somebody that hasn't heard it yet. So you can still prophesy to somebody that doesn't know it yet, and you can say, you know, this is what's going to happen based on the word of God, and they can, you know, you can be used as a person to tell the future events to them because they haven't yet read the word of God. It's still new to somebody. It may not be new to you, but it's new to somebody that has not yet heard. I looked over at Brother Clyde Vaughn tonight. He said, are you going to preach from the Bible? And I said, yeah, I'm going to try. And I said, did you forget who was preaching tonight? And he said, no, but I came anyway. And that's what I was thinking about. Somebody hasn't heard it yet, and you might say, well, that's not the best messenger to tell them, but they need to hear it regardless of whether, you know, whoever tells them, somebody needs to tell them, and let them have that gift. Let them have that use that God gave to them. Don't let the fear control them. Let them use that gift to tell somebody that hasn't heard yet. And I think about my own children. You know, I watch them go through the experiences of life, and half the time I think, well, why don't they know better? Because they haven't come pre-programmed. Nobody taught them yet. So somebody needs to teach them, and then I get to watch them have experiences in life and realize that it's not old to them, it's still new to them. They're experiencing this for the first time. They're experiencing faith in God and trusting him in tough situations and realizing it for the first time. It's still new to them. And the one that receives a gift is the one that appreciates it the most. If you find somebody that needs help, help them. They're going to appreciate it the most. They're going to accept that generosity, whether or not you get credit for it or not. I talked to the juniors in junior church today when the Bible talks about almsgiving or helping people in need. Sometimes we're more concerned with everybody seeing the good deed that we did and not in finding the person that really needs the help. And God says, I don't care if anybody sees it. You just need to help people that need help. And God will see it and reward it. And if you do it for any other reason, you're doing it for the wrong reason. And sometimes God says, I've given you a gift. I've let you see needs that not everybody else can see. And I want you to use that gift to help others. But fear gets in the way. That type of fear, that spirit of fear gets in the way. And if we can't honor God and show reverence to him when we are giving place to these other situations and these other circumstances. In the story of the crucifixion, when Peter was outside and he was accused of being a follower of Christ, that fear for his life kept him from being honest about who his Savior was. He denied Christ 3 times. Nicodemus wanted the truth from Christ, but he went to him at night because he didn't want to be seen. That fear kept him from being around in the daytime to hear the truth of the Word of God. Peter, again, was fearful of being labeled in the early church. The Apostle Paul had to rebuke him. It's in Galatians chapter 2. But Peter was afraid of being associated with people that weren't of the Jewish faith. And you can read it. It's in Galatians chapter 2. It says, Paul said, I withstood him to the face. And he corrected him. And sometimes there's situations in our own lives as Christians where, you know, the reason God put us together is to correct one another, to help each other grow. The pastor talked about to edify one another, to build up and to help people. And sometimes the best thing we can do is overcome that fear and help somebody that has taken on a bad perspective. Like between Peter and Paul, they both wanted to serve God. They both wanted to do what was right, but they let other men's opinions get in the way, and they had to correct one another. So that's the first type of fear in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not, therefore, ashamed. The fear that makes you be ashamed. But that second type, be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And that second type of fear, the fear of God. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 10. We should not fear what others can do to us because we serve our Savior. We serve our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? If people have something against God, they should have something against you too, because you're following after God. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered which shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the air, in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus said, you're putting your fear in the wrong people. You care about what they think about you, you care about what they say about you, but they don't have the power over your soul. All they have is one opinion. They don't have power over your soul and your body. Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Jesus said, get your fear under control and get it geared toward the right place. Fear God. He's the one that controls your body and your soul. He's the one that controls whether you go to heaven or to hell. And it doesn't matter about what everybody else thinks, because if you're associated with Christ, they're not going to like you. If they don't like Jesus, they're not going to like you. And he said, get the fear of God in the right place. The Bible says in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. There are promises in the Bible for those people that fear God. In Psalm 25, it says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. In Psalm 31, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. If we put our fear in the right place, put our reverence in the right place, we can accomplish everything that God has for us to do. Even Mary, when God sent a message to her and said, you're going to be the mother of our Savior, she said in Luke 1, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And it really echoes these two choices between choosing the fear of being ashamed or choosing the reverence and respect of being partaker is the choice that we have. Either I'm ashamed of my Savior, or I get to be part of his plan for my life. I either get to be a servant of doubt and fear, or I get to be a child of the King. It's an either or. It's like darkness and light. You can't have the two together. It's like what the Bible talks about when it talks about perfect love drives out fear. It's one or the other. In order to serve God the way that he wants us to serve him, we have to put that respect and fear in the right place. And it's a choice that we have to make each and every day. And again, a coward is somebody that's scared to act or to speak, even when they know what is right. So you can be fearing man and fearing what man will say to you and still know the truth and just not act on it. So which of those two do you want to choose tonight? And again, it's a choice that you make every day. That fear of being ashamed or service to God and being a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And again, the verse before that says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's the power that can come against any attack. I was reading the Sunday school lesson a few weeks ago. It talked about God is omnipresent. I'd always learned God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. God is omniscient. He knows everything. And God is omnipotent. He has all power. But I read that word. God is omnipresent. And it talked about God is all powerful, but he has unlimited powers of creation. So it was a new word for me. I learned a new word. Unlimited powers of creation. And you think about the God that we serve has power over everything that is, but he also has power to create whatever needs to be created. God is able to meet our needs with the cattle on a thousand hills, everything that he has, but he has the unlimited creativity to meet our needs. That's the God that we fear, and that's the God that we serve, and that's the type of power that he has. He has the love that can conquer any darkness. He can conquer any fear. The Bible says about love or charity. Charity never faileth. Everything else in life has an expiration date. Everything else in life has a time where it's reached its limit. But God's love has no limit. And it talks about that sound mind that Paul said. We have God's love. We have God's peace. We have God's truth, which gives us a sound mind. The Bible talks about the peace that Jesus left us in John 14. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So if we know we're plugged into God's power, we're plugged into God's love, we're plugged into God's peace, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to be ashamed of. Those are 2 points. This is the conclusion. I'll read verse 8 again. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So that's the question tonight. Are you ashamed or are you a partaker? Are you down in defeat or are you saying, I'm a child of the king? Are you living in that victory or are you already accepted the defeat of doubt and fear and what other men or women may say about you, what other circumstances may attack you? This is how the Holy Spirit can work within us. God said, I'll send the Comforter, I'll send my peace. And that respect of God is how the Holy Spirit can work within us if we make the choice to be a partaker. But it's also how the Holy Spirit is quenched if we make the choice to be ashamed. He gets silenced, he gets diminished in our life and in our testimony. This is how we can live like a child of the King, or it's how we choose to continue to be a servant to sin. Again, we talked about it in Sunday school, but you know, sin always gives us something to do. It doesn't give us anywhere to go or any success in life, but it always gives us something to occupy our time. It always gives us something to where, well, I have to be here, I have to do this, I have to be a servant to sin. But the freedom of God's love and the freedom of obedience to God says, now I have something productive to do. Now I can tell somebody else about Jesus. Now I can tell somebody else about the freedom that only comes through Jesus Christ. And I'm no longer a servant to sin. I'm a child of the King. I can tell them about my Heavenly Father. So those 2 questions, it's a daily choice. Are you ashamed or are you partaking? Are you partaking in the love of God, in the creative, unlimited creativity of God's power? Are you partaking in God's peace? Are you partaking in God's truth that gives us a sound mind? Again, we can respond in the truth of God's word, or we can worry about what people think about us and worry about circumstances and worry about the attacks of the devil, and we can walk in darkness. Are we ashamed or are we partaking in the gospel and sharing our testimony with others? I wanted to share that with you. I wanted to pray in just a minute. If God's touched your heart through some testimony, the songs that were sung, the message, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to have an invitation. And pray that each and every day we can say, God, I want to be the type of soldier you want me to be. I want to have the fear of God and not of man in my life so I can serve you with power and love and a sound mind. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that you give us each and every week together. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to live in fear of what others may say about us. We don't have to live in fear of what others would say about our Savior. We know that we serve a risen Savior. We serve a powerful, creative God. We serve someone that loves us. We serve someone that's given us the truth, that's given us a sound mind, and has given us divine peace. I pray, Lord, that you give us all those things tonight and that we would take them and use them and share them with those that it would be new to them. They haven't heard it yet, that we could share it with somebody that has not yet learned the peace and forgiveness and love that you offer each one of us. If there's someone here tonight that's not received Christ, they don't know for sure that they have a home in heaven, I pray, Lord, that they would come tonight and say, I have questions. I still walk in doubt and fear, and I don't want to walk in doubt and fear. I want to walk in trust and love. I pray you bless us tonight. Bless our invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.